You're listening to the Texas Standard.
There's a legal services nonprofit based in San Antonio with a profile that has gone national fast and in a big way. Refugee and Immigrant Center for Education and Legal Services, which goes by the acronym of RAISES. Heard of it? A lot of folks have. For many, frustrated with the immigration policies of the Trump administration, particularly the family separation issue, donating to RAISES became a way to do something. The nonprofit actually ended up collecting more than $20 million through a Facebook fundraiser. But now what? RAISES Executive Director Jonathan Ryan joins us now from San Antonio. Jonathan, welcome to the Texas Standard.
It's my pleasure to be here.
You guys didn't start this fundraiser. I gather a couple from California did, but $20 million, how does that compare to your annual budget?
$20 million is several times our annual budget of approximately $8 million, which itself has been creeping up over the past few years. When I first started at RAISES 10 years ago, we were an outfit of four people with about $60,000 in funding. And so at present, we're one of the largest immigration legal service providers in Texas with about 130 staff located all around the state. But there's no doubt that what Charlotte and Dave Wilner, the couple who started this, has done has been an amazing gift, not really just to us, but to this moment and to this cause to help these women and children who have been separated.
What about that $20 million? What do you do with it? What was the intention? What happens to that money?
The fundraiser that was set up originally conceived to raise $1,500 to pay a single immigration bond, which is the money that these mothers have to pay to get out of immigration detention. Uh-huh. With the additional funding, we are now empowered to pay bonds potentially for all of the women and children who need that and have to date spent about $150,000 picking up bond checks every day to send them around the country to help liberate these mothers from detention.
That's remarkable. So as I understand it, Rice has tried to present a sort of oversized check to the Department of Homeland Security. Was this more a sort of public relations effort, or was this an actual attempt to get the money into the federal system?
No, this was actually a very important practical step. In order to pay a single bond, we often have to send a lawyer or a volunteer to the immigration office where they can sometimes spend hours and sometimes multiple visits before they actually accept the bond. It's a very time-intensive, frustrating process. And so our hope is, given that we had enough money to pay bonds for every single person, why spend months and weeks trying to drip that out in parts? We wanted to speak with the administration, say, we have this money. Let's sit down at the table, see the list of people who are detained, and work out bond arrangements for all of them in one go. It's basically the standard bond process, but for a larger group of people that we're proposing.
How did that go?
We had no response from the government. We were, in fact, holding our filibuster in front of the White House and were two times cleared away by the Secret Service, which eventually truncated our filibuster. And so we haven't heard back. We did submit a formal letter to the administration also detailing in more precise terms what we hope to do. To date, we have not heard back from them.
If you don't, I guess, what does that mean? You'll have to pay the bonds individually? Is that the way this would work?
That's exactly right, and we're going to continue to do that all along while also trying to see what additional help these families need who are either in detention. We have lawyers around the state work with other partners inside the detention centers to help them, and also very concerned about what services and access to legal counsel will they have after they are released from detention, and trying to muster our services around people who are going to be everywhere from New York to Kentucky to Missouri to right here in Texas.
Yeah. The next court-ordered family reunification deadline is this week. Is there anything that this money could do to bring this process to a more expeditious end, perhaps?
We hope so. And we are working with organizations that are currently poised at outside of the detention centers, where we are hearing that there is some movement to release some of the families pursuant to the order. Now, that must be put in the caveat that as soon as the government has more family detention bed space, which is its intent, that this process will be locked back up again and people could be held indefinitely in detention. But as we are hearing that there is some movement for some of the families who have already passed the initial interviews to be released, we're working with different organizations around the state and the country to see how this money can be used to help people. We figure that we have approximately $8,000 per family. And if that we don't have to spend that money on bonds, then it's our intent to assist with transportation, with access to services once they get to the cities where they're going to reside and still have to continue through their immigration cases, which could be a matter of months or years before them.
Let me ask you sort of a, I don't know, one of those questions that people might ask at a cocktail party or something about your organization, because a lot of money really quickly, well, it can change the character of an organization. I mean, we all know that. I just wonder what the conversation's been like on the inside. I mean, has there been a struggle over what exactly to do with this money or how it could best be used? Or, I mean, and given the size of the organization, I mean, $20 million, wow. Has this been somewhat overwhelming or no?
To tell you the truth, we are an organization that for 30 years has been continuously confronting these sorts of crises. When immigration used Air Force bases in 2012 right. and 2014 and Fort Bliss in 2016, we were there. When the unfortunately, we're just wrapping around to the anniversary of the horrific 18-wheeler discovery in San Antonio last year, where there were folks who were dead and who were in great medical distress. We were the organization that provided legal services to them. So operating in crisis and responding to these kinds of humanitarian needs, it's actually what we do and have done for the better part of 30 years. And so we know what needs to be done. This is not a tabula rasa for us. We've been working inside of detention centers. We're a refugee resettlement organization. We've worked with post-release for thousands of people over the last few years. And so the problem is new, but the response is always the same. We are a legal services organization. We're an advocacy organization, and we meet the needs of the people as they confront us.
I think a lot of people think of RISIS as a Texas-based organization and primarily operating out of Texas, even though I know that you deal with issues all across the border. But I'm wondering, is this something that could perhaps kick you upstairs a little bit? Maybe you wind up with full-time offices in D.C., perhaps? Does this change the character of the organization, make it bigger, perhaps?
This is possible that the organization may grow, but as I've said to many people, you know, we're the poorest organization with $20 million that you've ever met. this money has a very specific purpose, and it is time-sensitive that we move this money out the door to benefit these families right now. Whether our organization over the long term is going to change is something that will work itself out. We have actually had staff in DC for several years. And again, due to the very unique character, and this is something I learned as soon as I came down to Texas, to San Antonio to do this work, is that you don't go to New York, you don't go to Los Angeles, you don't go to Washington, DC to confront these problems. They are happening here in our backyard. South Texas is one of the major crossing points in the world for internationally displaced people and refugees. And so we are going to always be rooted, as our name implies, right here in San Antonio and in South Texas, because this is where the work gets done. We certainly are going to be in conversations with organizations around the country, and I think we will change because we're going to be locked into this, which is going to be a very protracted issue. This is not going away anytime soon, and neither is RISIS.
Jonathan Ryan is the executive director of RISIS. Jonathan, thanks again.
Thank you so much.